This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all love to treat ourselves every now and then, right? Like go out and buy a nice coffee, maybe get a little extra legroom on the plane. Then why are we always settling for doctors? Your health is the most important thing. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You know how I feel about making phone calls, and that is why I discovered ZocDoc many years ago before I even had a podcast. And so I'm thrilled. This feels very full circle. I use ZocDoc all the time in LA. I still use them here in Cincinnati. It's just such a cool service to be able to put in your insurance and find a doctor for whatever your ailment might be. I actually found an ENT doctor once when I had this sinus infection, probably TMI. But anyway, I love ZocDoc. I've loved it for years. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's how easy it is. Sometimes they even have same day appointments. I know I've gotten some in the past. Go to ZocDoc.com/drink and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/drink. ZocDoc.com/drink. Howdy.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm ready to go home now. Let's go.
Bye.
Bye. I can hear Gio.
Hey, Gio's being a little butt.
He's being a little chatty Cathy downstairs.
It's almost through, which means the mail's here.
Mail time.
There's the mail. Okay, we're not going to do that to you.
It always makes Gio want to wag his tail.
I mean, yeah, that I can't deny. And no. Like bite someone's throat out, but...
Oh, he really is such a stereotypical little basic bitch when it comes to being a dog.
It's just terrible.
He just hates the mailman. What has the mailman ever done to him?
I mean, approached him 10 feet away. I don't know. Literally nothing.
Uh-oh. Well, looks like I'm also in trouble then.
Yeah, apparently.
How are you?
I'm good, guys. I do have a quick correction before, like, I forget. So a bajillion people have sent this to me. Okay. Uh-huh. All right, everybody. Yes, I know that bueno ano means good anus, and I'm sorry about that.
Good anus. That's what they call you.
However, I will say, which only Michaela, as far as I could tell, noticed.
Oh, okay.
Is that, so everyone yelled at me for, not yelled at me, they were like, ha, made fun of me for it. Which, it is ridiculous. Yes, mm-hmm. Correct. And I felt like a dummy. But Michaela, who is from Spain, noted that Judy misspelled her own last name, so there is no
there's
no tilde on it, so I was pronouncing it the way that she wrote it out and put it on her birth certificate, or not her birth certificate, her,
so it meant good butthole
basically. Yes.
Cool.
And
rock on.
Michaela said that's why people shouldn't change their name or get tattoos in languages they don't speak, and I think that's a really good point.
Amen.
So that's why I was confused, because it was written everywhere as A-N-O at the end, bueno ano.
But it's two N's usually, right?
No.
Or no?
It's a tilde on top, like a little squiggle.
Oh, I see.
And so I didn't know whether to give it one because it wasn't spelled that way.
I see.
But apparently Judy's the one who messed it up. So I didn't mess it up, guys. I'm sorry.
While you're at it, why don't you correct this? I was listening to episode 60 recently. And
stop it!
There were some weird sounds going on.
Somebody tweeted that yesterday.
I saw it.
And I just retweeted it.
I almost
saying anything.
I almost commented on it being like, oh my God, Christine, I've never listened before. What is that sound? Why is it smell?
Why did you mess up the audio?
It sounds like whales. Did you mean to do that? I'm so confused.
I think I'm haunted now. Ugh. Yeah. So I told Blaze last night, I was like, anytime I hear about it, I'm just going to retweet it and see what happens. And people seem to be responsive to my retweet. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Fair.
It's just funny because within 24 hours, they always go, oh, I figured it out.
Yep.
I'm like, you'll get there.
You'll figure it out.
And I'm sorry. But I'm not changing it because I'm too tired, lazy, and don't even know how that would be possible. So,
sure.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. So, anyway, that's my correction for the week. I'm sorry. Right. I said good anus 4,000 times.
I'm not.
Me neither.
I'm happy you did it. I'm happy you did it.
Why do you drink this week?
Why do I drink?
If you have a reason.
Still coughing.
The coughing really is going on forever, huh?
It's almost a full month now, yeah.
I think it's just part of your lifestyle now.
I think it is, too, because I feel fine, but it just I can't shake it.
I think we just need to get used to it.
Sure.
I think Eva needs to get used to it.
Poor Eva.
While editing.
I think people on planes need to get used to it, because I've been on approximately, like, 7 planes with this cough, and everyone is, like, those poor people who are trying to be kind, but also they're disgusted by me, and so they're like,
They, like, cover their mouth or their nose.
They're like, oh, allergies? And, oh! I'm like, sure.
Okay, to be fair, that's just rude.
It's like, I guess whatever you need to hear. Allergies.
Allergies.
Allergic to your bullshit.
Everyone's just like throwing Claritin at you.
Oh, no, there actually was one woman who I lied and said that it was allergies so she would like not feel so grossed out by being next to me. And she gave me Benadryl. And then she was like, just take it.
Please, God, for God. Like,
please stop whatever's for coming out of your face.
For our sakes. Stop what's coming out of your face. That's what everyone says when they listen to the show.
For sure. That's the tagline, actually. So, I feel fine. It's just, this won't go away. So I'm just annoyed all the time by myself.
I'm sure Allison loves it, though.
She doesn't. And she lets me know. So she is over it. That's all, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. I guess I'm having a pretty good week.
That's good. I feel like it's always a good thing when we don't have something to
drink. I'm always surprised and I'm like, oh, I'm happy.
Oh, wow. No major problems in the last 7 days?
We are going to Milwaukee, Detroit, and Chicago.
Yay.
Or I guess when this comes out, we'll already have been in attendance to at least some of them, right?
Yeah. Chicago's tonight, the night that it comes out.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have a bunch of shows in April. So just go to
annetsfigering.com/live.
Like, we won't be sleeping.
We're just going to be on planes all
coughing
the time in
at
April.
Everyone.
Oh, my gosh. Can you believe it? So, yeah, that's all we're up to.
Well, do you want to know why I drink?
I do.
Okay. Because I have a real reason. I usually don't, but I do
shit.
This time.
Okay.
It is that I'm planning another wedding.
What?
Unwillingly.
Oh, I know about this.
My father decided to have his own wedding for me and boys.
Yes.
A wedding party. Post-wedding party.
Intercontinental.
It's in Austria.
You sound like such a rich bitch.
It's really obnoxious. I feel really stupid. And he's making me... So it's... Okay. So a lot of my family in Germany and Austria were not able to make it to my actual wedding. So my dad was like really bummed out that majority of his family wasn't able to travel to these
sure.
states for it. So he's like, we'll just do a European one. And I'm like, I mean, if you
want
to do it...
Who's funding this? Him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
I
yeah.
was like, oh, boy,
oh, hell
Christine.
No. Oh, hell no.
Oh, boy.
However, he is saying, oh, for example, I was like, I'm busy. You can have a party for your family and like, sure, I'll show up. Like,
right.
I'll be
just
there.
FaceTime me. I'll be there.
I'll be there. But he's like, great. And no worries. I'll do everything. And then I got a call being like, I need you to make a save the day and make it really. And then I sent it and he's like, no, I want it to be funny.
So basically you're planning a wedding with your father.
Yeah, it's fun.
So
I'm currently sending out save the dates via email. Thank God.
Oh, my God.
And I went through a couple iterations of said save the date before an acceptable one was created. So, M, watch your inbox.
Okay.
But apparently this is happening. My dad's booking like a local Austrian, like the village band. And it's going to be a weird and wild time. Blaze has never been to Europe, so we're planning that trip too. It'll be fun.
How long are you going to be gone for?
2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
You'll hear from me in a couple months.
I bet I sure will.
Anyway, so I'm just very like suddenly thrown back into all this like, is rose gold or silver a better accent? Like, I just regret.
Oh.
I regret even like stepping.
I feel like you're almost like a war vet where like.
That's.
I
yeah.
feel like the second that.
No, I'm not comparing myself to a war vet, by the way, just to be clear.
In case people for some reason think we're assholes.
No.
But no, I feel like the second someone tells you what colors should go with other colors and what accessories are best, I feel like you should just go right back into the thick of it without even noticing.
It is. It's like I can't help myself but suddenly care.
Yeah.
And it's like I don't want to care, but like I do. And my dad was like, well, you've done it before. And I'm like, I guess that's fair, but also I don't want to do it again, but here I am.
I was like, didn't you hear me bitch about this for like a year and a half?
A year and a half. But one wedding, I wrote on the save the date because dad decided one wedding wasn't enough for him.
Oh,
and
good.
That's in
that's
the final
the funny
copy,
part.
So he wanted it to be come to our dungeon. And I was like, that doesn't, it's not funny.
Is that like German humor that I don't get? Or is, it's not funny anywhere?
It's not humor that also you don't get. No, it's it's because it's in a castle, the party.
Oh, I see.
And so he thinks like if we say come to our dungeon, it doesn't sound weird. It just sounds funny.
Okay. So, well, he's a dad.
He's probably still listening to this. And I'm sorry, dad.
Whatever.
I love you.
He's fine.
Yeah, so anyway.
All right, well, mazel mazel.
I guess so.
Great for you.
Help.
Just a whole other reason for Allison to stare at me. I wonder why she hasn't gotten a wedding yet, Round two.
I mean, I'm on my second wedding, so fuck it. Anyway, that sounded really douchey, I know. I don't mean to be like,
with your kombucha
I'm
in
planning
hand.
Another wedding. I mean, like, my dad really wants to throw a party for his family, and I'm very excited sure. about it, but he's calling it a wedding party, and I'm like, okay.
Sure.
Listen, there's food and a village
band. Are you getting presents?
I know. I don't think so.
Oh.
What if I started a new Zola registry?
I was kind of thinking you should, just if they weren't able to come to the last one, maybe they didn't even pay attention
maybe
to
I'll
the
just
registry.
Start a honeymoon fund.
Listen.
And just like buy stuff with it.
I think you should.
Just kidding, guys. Okay. I'm not that bad.
All right. Well, I have no news that,
that, cough
that beat
is,
that out. So.
That cough is pretty top-notch news. Breaking, actually.
Not breaking news at all.
Lingering forever and ever
yes.
in our ears.
Yes, we'll just always hear about it.
You've probably heard about Burrow. It's a new kind of furniture company known for timeless design, durable materials, and details that make life in your space easier. Last year, they brought their expertise outside with the launch of their outdoor line, and now they're adding more must-have pieces to the collection. Dunes offers seating, dining, and lounger options, while Scout is a new folding chair upholstered in a chic woven fabric. Made of durable materials made for all seasons, weather-resistant teak, stainless alloy, quick-dry, stain-resistant cushions, love that, with easy assembly and disassembly. They also just launched a new standing desk co-pilot with adjustable height, a durable scratch-resistant body with built-in storage to make working at home easier than ever. And of course, there's Burrow's legacy seating collections like the Nomad and Range, now available in new colors. So no matter what you choose, you always get free shipping on every order, which can run up to $100 for larger items, and that is a win. You know Emma and I love our Burrow, and now that they have outdoor furniture, I'm very excited to get my lounge on. We have this balcony, and I am always looking for something to make it comfy but also look chic, you know, because it's outside, everyone can see it, and I want to look stylish while I'm bird watching. I love Burrow. It's easy to assemble. It ships free. I can't recommend them highly enough. And that's why We Drink listeners can get 15% off their first order at burrow.com/drink. That's Burrow, burrow.com/drink for 15% off. burrow.com/drink. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like when you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/drink. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
My story, speaking of my cough, actually, the Flu-rida, if you will.
The Flu-rida!
Because I did have a flu in Florida. And I think we can both confirm I was just a heavily medicated, half-conscious person.
Yeah, you were not in best shape. You're not in fit fighting form.
I was not in ship shape, no.
No.
So because of that, I would like to admit now that every show we did in Florida, I don't remember.
Someone said something mean on Twitter. They were like, I didn't like the Tampa show.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I don't even remember the Tampa show, so I win. So
I really liked my story, but whatever. Doesn't matter. Okay.
I don't remember what your story was.
It was about the lady who said her husband was eaten by alligators.
Mm, I did like that one.
That was a weird one. Okay.
Maybe she didn't like my story because I was like groggily, like half
I don't
speaking
remember
English.
Your story.
Well, you're going to hear it tonight.
Great.
So, because we have been starting the trend of covering stories that do not get recorded at venues. Yeah. We did not cover we did not get the stories recovered. What is wrong with me? Am I still medicated?
Oh, shit. We're still in Florida.
Oh, no. The Flu-rida's back.
Still in Flu-rida.
So we did not get the venue to record our stories at Jacksonville.
No, we did.
We did?
Oh, shit. I was going to release that one. Are you not?
Which one was the one that didn't get?
Tampa.
Tampa. Oh, okay. I just have the other notes. That's fine. No, I thought it was Jacksonville for
some
reason.
That's the one because it had Florida Man the Jacksonville one has Florida Man. That was like with the Buddha and stuff. Right?
No, homie.
Our last show was Tampa?
Our last show was Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah.
Ramada Inn was Jacksonville. So that's the one that did get recorded?
Ramada Inn was...
Jacksonville, for sure.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm really confused.
Tampa was the Buddha, I thought.
Maybe you're right. Hold on. Hello. I was also in a Fluvida. Please just believe me. I took whatever medication M was on and
so we did not record Jacksonville, correct?
You're right. And okay. I didn't know anything. I swear the entire time we were in Florida, we were both on like very different.
Florida was just like, where was that other town we went to where like, I just can't even have, I to this day don't have my bearings of it. I feel like there was another area we went to. Maybe.
Maryland?
San Jose, maybe.
San Jose? I don't know.
We were somewhere else where, like, we were just having an out-of-body experience the whole time. And I think Florida was like that for me because it was, like, sponsored by NyQuil.
You're so fucking ill.
But no, that was the one.
Okay, I swapped them out in my head, and I'm so sorry that I just went on for 10 minutes.
No. For all I knew, you were right. Somehow I was right.
I am less right, and you were the one on medication.
Very rare, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, no, not really.
So, anyway. Because they did not record at the venue in Jacksonville.
Correct. That's what it was.
This is my story that I did at Jacksonville, which to me is brand new because I was not in my right mind.
And to me it's brand new because I thought I was in Tampa, so I didn't know what city I was in.
So unless you were at the Jacksonville show, this is brand new information.
I'm excited.
Unless you're us.
And you're never going to hear it elsewhere because it didn't record. So
right, exactly. Awesome. So,
and then no memory of what you did either, by the way, just to clarify.
Well, also, if you went to the Jacksonville show, please don't deter you from skipping through this because I will probably...
It'll be a new take.
It'll be a whole new hot take. So
this one, shout out to Jax. J-A-X. Slash Tampa, maybe. Who knows?
Slash Florida?
In my brain.
Slash Florida.
God damn it.
So.
I feel stupid. You was probably screaming the whole time. Like, no, Christine. God. No. Listen to M. God.
So, for those who were in the Jacksonville, at the Jacksonville show, I told three different stories, which is fun for you, maybe. Or not. Who cares?
I don't have any. Who cares?
Not me.
We care. Oh, I do.
I don't. I think it's more fun because you get multiple stories.
Oh, yeah.
But so I didn't actually cover Jacksonville proper. I covered a city next to Jacksonville, which is actually supposedly one of the most haunted cities in the world, which is St. Augustine, Florida.
Oh, because then I remember being St. Augustine Lighthouse, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So I've covered the lighthouse before, so that story is not getting covered today. But... you are getting three other stories from St. Augustine.
I'm amped.
Yay. Woohoo. Me too. Let's see how I did on my notes. Because by the way, definitely did these notes the night before.
Right.
Which means I was also heavily medicated when I did those notes.
Yes.
And then hoped that in my flu state,
right,
I would also be able to read those notes. I handled it pretty well, I think.
I think we had a great time on stage.
Let's find out. So the first story that we're covering, which I think is probably the main story, because I remember there being two smaller stories and one big one. This is the big one.
Okay.
So this is the story of the St. Augustine Old Jail.
Okay. Is it spelled like gowl?
No. I wanted it to be, though, so badly. So this is the St. Augustine. I think it's also called the St. John's County Old Jail.
Okay. It's just an old jail.
It's an old jail.
Okay.
So the first thing that I have written down, which at this point, I don't remember why I wrote it down, but I think it was from an old ad that I read, and it really hyped me up, and so I wanted to read it for you.
An ad? Like a ZipRecruiter?
Some sort of promotional for the, I don't know. Maybe it was an article, and this is how it was, what the first sentence of the article was.
Oh.
The first note I have is in quotes and says, "Ladies, you better cover those ankles. Otherwise, you could land yourself a stay at the St. Augustine's Old Jail." So I think it was from an article, or maybe I fucking wrote it, and I was just
You very clarified that you did not write it, and then I very clarified that I would be screwed because I was wearing a skirt.
Oh, yeah.
I was wearing a short skirt.
Oh, yeah.
On stage.
It's all coming back to us.
Yes.
It's all coming back. That song, by the way, is my ultra-cleaning song. Celine Dion.
You have told me this.
When I clean, I listen to It's All Coming Back to Me Now, and it really...
It is a good one, because it'll kind of
There's a rhythm.
Up and down.
There's a rhythm, yep. Okay.
God.
So, ladies,
can you imagine if this was the live show? We'd be people would be walking out.
Okay, ladies, you better cover those ankles. So there was an original jail, apparently, that is not this jail. So there was an original jail, and there was a railroad tycoon amongst St. Augustine.
Oh.
His name was Henry Flagler. And Flagler. He did not like the location of the original jail.
Got it.
Because his, quote, high society clientele could see it when they were staying at his hotel.
Oh, God forbid.
So he had a hotel. His clients were like, I can see the jail.
Bleach my eyes, please.
Yeah, take my eyes.
Take them out.
And so he was like, well, that's got to change. And also, his hotel was called the Ponte de Leon Hotel.
Fuck. Okay. So and privilege abounds.
Yeah. And it is now actually Flagler College.
Oh!
Which I know when I told this story, a lot of people were from Flagler or went to Flagler.
Right,
and
right.
So they were very excited. I also have a friend who went to Flagler College, and that place, like, not kidding when they say that this used to be an old fancy hotel, because it looks like a castle.
Is it, like, really beautiful?
It's way beautiful.
Oh.
I remember when, because I was looking at colleges when I, in, like, 2009, 2010, because I graduated high school 2010.
Right.
And so those years, I remember a lot of the colleges that I was looking at, none of them offered, like laundry services. Like, you had to go to a laundromat off campus.
Really?
Yeah. But I wasn't looking at great schools. But but Flagler, I remember them, like, there was something on their website about their laundry facilities.
Oh,
and I was like, wow, this is some bougie ass shit.
Linda was like, yes, please.
Right, you're right, right. I ended up going to a college with fine laundry facilities, by the way.
Oh, I was like, did your college not have laundry?
This was before I was looking at the school I went to. But,
got it.
But anyway, I remember looking at pictures of that school on its website, and it looks like a fucking castle.
Privilege
So, congratulations to everyone who's made
That's
it to Flagler.
I can't even say the word, so.
Well,
Flagler.
Flagler. So, Henry Flagler, was that his name?
Henry Flagler.
So he asked the city to build a new jail on the outskirts of town so that his hotel clientele didn't have to watch the jail.
Yeah, because they had to watch it all the time.
They were forced to look out the window and see a jail.
Right.
So the city said no, that would be too expensive. And then Flagler himself came in the next week with $10,000 of his own money.
He said, if you must.
Here. If you're going to say it's expensive, then I guess I'll pay the price.
Fine.
So the construction ended up getting done. They were like, okay, that's enough money. We'll do it. The construction was done by the Polly Company. The Polly Company actually specialized in building prisons, and they actually are most famous for having built Alcatraz.
Oh, frick.
Which is like the jail that you cannot escape from. So I guess in like jail architecture or jail interior design, like the Polly Company was the one to go
it's
to.
It's one of the few where people literally pay money to go look at it. So you might as well call yourself an expert.
So Flagler had it painted, the new jail on the outskirts of town, had it painted a shade of dusty rose to look like a prominent St. Augustine home or hotel. So it blended in with the area.
Beautiful. So no one would know.
So even if he had to build another hotel next to that jail and everyone had to look at that building, at least they wouldn't know it was a jail.
Camouflage it.
Yeah. Huh?
Why not?
Yes. And dusty rose, the ultra camo color.
That's the one. I called it millennial pink, and I regretted it.
So the new jail was finished in 1891 and was in operation until the 1950s, I think 1953.
Cool.
And it is now a historic landmark and a museum and houses one of the very first fingerprinting kits in Florida.
Ooh.
Very fun. Also, ghost tours are held here, and the jail obviously at the time had horrible conditions because it was the 1890s and laws were different. So it had very tiny cells. There was no glass in the windows.
Ugh.
So basically the weather outside determined the weather inside.
Ugh.
So if it was Florida heat, it was Florida hot.
You have seriously like no protection from the elements.
Right.
Oh no.
The jail could hold up to 72 male prisoners and only 12 female prisoners.
Okay.
The men were on the second and third floors, and the cells for the 12 women were on the first floor. A lot of women weren't actually jailed at the time. Usually you were put on house arrest or, quote, sent away.
Right, you were crazy pants.
Sanitarium, if you will.
They called you hysterical.
Hysterical. Hysterical.
Hysterical.
I don't know. I'm a mess. So.
Do you know what hysterical comes from?
No.
Hysteria.
Oh.
It comes from, well, no. I'm saying, like, what hysteria comes from?
Oh, I just never put together that hysterical came from hysteria.
Oh,
but
really?
I know where hysteria came from, right?
Yeah. The uterus.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Like hysterectomy.
Right. So they wanted to be like, oh, hysteria. It's just when crazy women
It's just women being emotional.
Right. It's their uteruses control their brain, so.
Right. Well, that's to this day.
Yep.
So
nothing's changed.
We're still crazy. So, four men to a cell versus six women to a cell was the actual, like, plan of this jail. So there's room for 72 men.
Right.
To be imprisoned here. But they still got at least a quarter of a cell.
Okay.
But for the 12 women that lived in this jail at a time, it was six women to a cell. So technically what I'm telling you is there were only two cells for women.
So they really just crammed all 12 in those two cells?
Yes.
What the hell?
And then they just had enough room for they were more like, men,
women need less room? I mean,
I guess so. We're so skinny. I don't know. I assume because women are meant to be frail and tiny, there's more room for more women.
Right. Seen but not heard? No, not seen.
Who
even.
Knows? Put all hysterical.
Tucked away into a bunk bed.
So, oh my God. So the women were responsible not only for having less space in their cell, but they were also responsible for cleaning and cooking for the male prisoners.
This sounds like a bad joke.
And the sheriff's family.
Oh, come on.
Because they were women.
Right. Well, obviously.
They have no other place. Even in jail, they only have two places to be, right?
Right.
So
as long as they keep those ankles out of sight.
Right. You got it.
Oh, God.
There's a quote that says, quote, they would drag women of low reputation here. So if you didn't have a good family name or a husband, you could be thrown in jail. So you didn't even have to be a lawbreaker.
You'd be a spinster.
They could just look at you and be like, you look lonely. To jail with you.
Wow. So, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's probably not much better to be sent away to a sanitarium or whatever. Or I don't
convent.
Know.
I don't know what they expect. A single woman. It's like, oh, you must just be imprisoned.
We have to put you somewhere besides your home.
Right.
Whatever.
So anyway, they were also expected to cook and clean for the prisoners.
Wow, shocker.
So
wow.
That's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
So the maximum security cells were located in the back of the jail, and they also included, quote, support materials such as stocks and a torture cage.
Stocks, like where you put your...
Like stockades, yeah.
Oh, shit.
A torture cage and a clear view of the hanging area. So
great,
my favorite
prime real estate.
So the people at the hotel, God forbid, had to look at a jail, but the people in the jail must look at the hanging area.
But
okay.
They painted it dusty rose. They painted the gallows.
It's a rose gold gallows, so you're fine.
Rose gold gallows.
So the gallows were custom built for each execution. So if you were on death row, you were put in the cell that looked directly at the hanging area so you could watch your own gallows being built. Horrible.
How fucking twisted, dude. They can't even think of how to, like, put people in a room right, but then they are like, but we will think of a brilliant way to make them, like,
yeah,
think of their demise.
But don't worry,
second.
This woman who should be freed, except she's single, so now she's a prisoner, is going to give you your last meal.
And she'll watch you get hanged. What the fuck? Because she's forced to look out her non-glass window.
Right.
God damn it.
So prisoners were obviously executed here, but because back then they were not as humane. Well, you know.
Well.
We could be political if we wanted to. We're going to skip right past that.
Mm-hmm. You know what we do.
You know what's happening here. So we're just going to dance around the politics of the death sentence.
Dance around the gallows.
Right. As their ghosts probably do. So prisoners who were executed here sometimes ended up taking up to 15 minutes to die.
God damn it.
Because the jail staff did not do proper calculations on the height of the rope versus your height and weight.
So they're like custom making this shit, but then they can't
custom making it wrong.
Wrong.
Yes. So basically... people who were on death row ended up dying from being strangled and just hanging for 15
That's
minutes.
Terrible.
And eight men are on record for having been hanged here. So,
oh, okay.
Including one man in 1908 who, this has no reference in the future to these stories, but I thought it would be interesting and morbid for the people who showed up at this episode because they wanted to hear something morbid. So here
fun
you go.
Fact.
A fun fact, if you will, including a man in 1908. He was hanged for, quote, beheading his wife with a straight razor.
Oh, I remember that one.
That's an intimate way to die.
That is a very,
very horrible,
deeply upsetting. Like,
awful.
That's the kind of person where I'm like, okay, put them in a jail.
That's, for me, I'm like, okay, you've proven that you're not entirely...
Right.
You're...
You should not be maybe loose...
A little crackers.
...in society.
Right.
But you should also be put next to this single woman, because you are equally...
Right.
...criminal.
Here's another woman. So, Inmates were also beaten, tortured, and starved. Of course. There were no blankets or pillows. Beds were made of Spanish moss, which means that they were infested with these red bugs.
Ooh!
Literally called red bugs. Yeah. Like, apparently they're the equivalent of chiggers.
Did you, like, draw? We used to, like, draw with them. Nope.
What?
Those little red...
That's the most German childhood thing I've ever... You would draw with red bugs?
The ones that were on concrete, and then you could, like, smear them around it.
You need to go.
This
get
is
help.
Why I save bugs nowadays. I think I have a guilt complex from childhood.
That makes so much sense.
They're those tiny ones. I'm not like talking about like ants. Like I would never kill an ant, but they were like little tiny baby guys.
Sure. I mean, apparently they were known to suck your blood and give you horrible hives. So I mean, I give you permission to have
to touch them
to
yeah.
smear them in color. Apparently, like a weird sick child.
Oh my god!
It's the most carry thing I've ever heard of.
It never fucking wow.
Okay. Well,
what's carry? Oh, Carrie.
Yeah.
Well, because I was just, that was so weird because I was just thinking, well, it was Celine's fault and her family's name is Carrie. And I'm like, well, they're the ones that taught me it. And then you said it's the most Carrie thing. And I went, how did you, what?
I'm also a psychic. And also, Celine sounds like she needs to go get help with you.
I know. We'll both go together.
So.
Okay. So those were infesting you, which is fucking terrible.
Yeah. Because right. they lived in Spanish moss. And so beds were made of Spanish moss, which
heinous.
Means. Christine's crayons were in the Spanish moss. And so while you're sleeping, they would like apparently suck your blood and shit.
No. Oh God.
So also the food was horrible. Can you believe it? It consisted of.
Even though the ladies were making it?
Right. Well, they were doing what they could
they
with
tried.
Spanish moss and no husband.
Fair.
So.
What the fuck?
So their food consisted of grits and beans only.
Sure.
If you wanted more than they expected that you would go hunting for animals, like on the premises?
What?
With what weapons are they giving a prisoner?
What the hell?
I guess with your bare hands, you have to go find a squirrel or a,
like a rat or something.
Or a red bug. That
a
you,
red
I
bug
don't know.
Just fried up.
And, but so basically all you got was grits and beans.
I don't condone killing bugs. I regret it. I'm just saying.
We all know you don't condone killing bugs when I literally couldn't handle one being on my straw
when
one time.
Cried on air because you squished one. A fruit fly.
Oh yeah. Tampa. See, this is how you should remember Tampa. That was the one where I found an ant on my script.
Oh, that was wild times.
I thought,
and literally,
because I was so heavily medicated, I thought the fucking words were moving on my paper. And I was like, I'm literally about to say all of this live on a stage. And the words are fucking dancing.
They're just like wiggling.
And it was like an ant who had, that had crawled onto my notes.
And then I watched as M smushed it and flicked it. And I almost cried on stage. And then I was like, keep it together.
I was just relieved that I was going to be able to read and not like pass out.
Okay, valid.
So. There was also the sheriff warden, who took his job too literally, and so to make sure no one escaped, even though this was not asked of him, he also would bring in dogs, teach them to attack the prisoners, and then keep them behind all corners of the jail. So if anyone tried to escape, the dogs would attack.
You'd be screwed. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Also, there was solitary confinement and other overtly harsh punishments, and they were all dished out for apparently very minor offenses. Ugh. There was also no toilet or running water. There was only a bucket for, they had a well, I guess, and they would get a bucket of water, and it was provided one per cell.
Oh my God.
And then once that bucket was empty from you bathing with that same water as the other five people in your cell,
oof.
Then it became an empty bucket, and then you had a toilet.
A bathroom. Yep. Oh, you make your own toilet.
You make your own toilet.
DIY.
After you decide, oh, do I want water in this bucket today or no? Do I want bucket or do or I want water or my pee?
Oh, It's a new HGTV special.
Right.
DIY toilet.
The Naked and Afraid, water or pee. So also the prisoners that were sick were kept with the general population. So everyone was getting sick. Everyone was pretty much always sick. Many died, especially from dysentery.
Of course.
Including the sheriff warden's daughter, because the sheriff warden's family actually lived on the property with the prisoners.
Why would you want to live?
Back then, that it was they weren't prisons; they were jailhouses.
Oh,
so,
sure.
Like, it was literally half jail,
so
half house.
He ran the place and was literally wow.
Yeah.
But with your family, that's crazy.
Yep. So one of the daughters got dysentery too because people just died left and right from poor sanitation.
Sad.
And the inmates also died from abuse and fights with other prisoners.
Right.
So
right.
People are just dying left and right.
That's terrible.
So here are the ghosts.
So they can't even make it to the gallows.
No,
they're all truly like dying in the prison.
Yep.
God,
nailed
damn
it.
Okay.
So, some of the ghost stories, here we are. People report smelling something really sweet, like molasses, or others smell rotting sewage.
Oh,
so, either
oh.
You get something really wonderful or something really horrible.
It's our other spinoff show, molasses
or sewage.
Trash.
Yeah, molasses. Syrup or trash. So, People also hear someone in the dark humming Sweet Low Sweet Chariot.
Ooh!
The creepiest thing.
The spookiest fucking thing you could be humming.
In the dark and just someone humming it. Ugh.
Yeah.
People also hear footsteps walking and chains dragging on the ground.
Chains. Oh, God.
People hear the sound of, as we hear Gio bark downstairs, people hear the sound of dogs barking.
Oh, my God. He knew. This is cute.
Baby.
Baby, baby.
People also hear voices in the cells and hallways. Apparently, someone will angrily whisper to you.
Angrily?
Angrily.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You know how people do that to you.
Sounds like me at the movies with Blaze.
I don't understand this.
Kimmy, what's happening?
What do you mean you ate all the popcorn?
Who is that guy?
I came here for one thing and one thing only, and it was popcorn.
I snuck my wine in here and and I'm going to whisper at you about it.
If all I have left to eat are Raisinets, I'm going to lose my mind.
Oh, Blaze and I do love Raisinets.
I love Raisinets.
Thank you.
They're my favorite. I said that I pretended to be you and hate them because I was trying to go towards the general demographic of people. But I
had to admit, I love them.
That's my go-to. That's candy.
Blaze and I always buy Raisinets at the
movies. I don't go to a movie unless I have Raisinets with me.
Same. Raisinets and an icy.
We are probably gross to most people. It's fine.
I'm like, Christine's crayons. She smushes bugs into the pavement and eats chocolate-covered raisins.
But she's fine.
But it's fine.
No, chocolate-covered raisins. I always get chocolate-covered raisins and a Coke.
I always get chocolate-covered raisins and a Coke icy.
I always want to get a Coke icy, but if I drink a Coke icy for too long, because it's like fake Coke and it's just syrup, it starts hurting my throat.
Oh.
But I used it for a long time. That was also my order. And then I realized that the icy was too much.
Wow, we are the same.
We are the same.
How unfortunate for everyone.
That's what I'm saying. So where were we? Oh, yeah. Raisinets. So people also hear a little girl's voice coming from the sheriff's office, which might be his daughter. They also hear a woman laughing in the woman's cell area. People feel a cold hand touching their shoulder.
No.
They get their hair tugged on.
Oh, no, no, no.
And their neck blown on.
Oh, these are terrible
things.
Firm
pass.
Yeah.
Something else likes to grab you really hard, and people have had bruises when they walk out.
Oh, shit.
People have also felt themselves get tripped and shoved out of rooms. People sense a range of strong emotions when they're in the jail, including sadness, loneliness, and rage.
Oh, terrible.
And people have gotten pictures of a face staring at you. Orbs and shadow figures, and people have seen an apparition of a man sitting on a chair looking at you.
Holy crap. Okay.
People have seen a spirit pacing in the kitchen area, and people have reported seeing the sheriff warden himself walking around or talking in his office. And there has been a spirit seen crouching in the corner.
Oh, hell no.
Standing up and then walking through the wall once you've noticed him.
Oh, hell to the no.
Many people have also seen this shadow figure hiding in the corner, looking at your group.
Okay. Foul.
And tour guides have been gut punched and had cold hands slide down their back. All bad.
Quit. Please quit.
One medium talked to a man who was hanged there, who apparently told her that he was framed and never actually did it. So,
shocker.
Who knows? And there is a spirit there, finally, at the end of this whole story. Called the Crawler.
No! Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. That was so loud.
Who is apparently a humanoid shadow that crawls on the floor and follows you out of the room.
Truly the worst.
Which, especially,
thing.
I had not seen the movie Us before.
Oh, I have not seen it yet. Okay. Oh, okay. Oh,
but
God.
In the commercial when, like, the kid's crawling around, I imagine that's how this thing crawls.
That's terrible. And then you hear laughing from one side of the cell and, like, humming. Oh, this is nightmare.
Nightmare fuel.
Night fucking mare.
So that's all for the old jail, which is pretty much enough for me.
I'm already fucking tapped out.
But I already promised two other stories, so here we go.
Let's
real quick.
Go for it.
So these are both super, super quick. But one is the St. Augustine Spanish Military Hospital, and the other is the St. Augustine Huguenot Cemetery.
Cool.
The Spanish Military Hospital. So it is apparently the, quote, haunted hospital of St. Augustine.
Okay.
And it was originally named Our Lady of Guadalupe. And it was in it's in the village of the Spanish Quarter. And originally stood from the 1700s to 1821. So that was what the original hospital stopped standing in 1821. And this is now an exact replica of the hospital that once stood.
Okay, got it.
So just like how the old jail is not technically the old jail, it's technically the new jail.
Right, okay.
This is like technically the new hospital, but anyway.
But we can pretend.
We can pretend. So in 1821, it had to be replaced, hence the exact replica.
Got it.
Because several water lines were under the hospital that needed to be removed, and they needed to rebuild the building on top of it. So that's There was a lot of construction necessity.
I feel like that few times where it's actually necessary, not like a fire burned the whole thing. I feel like it's 99% of the time.
It's like, oh, there's actually someone who made the choice that this place needed to be taken down.
So. 600 orphans died in a fire is usually what I'm expecting because it just...
Me too.
The worst.
Me too. All
right.
Love a good orphan in a fire story.
Oh, there's so many. It's terrible.
Awful.
Well, we all know. I think we all agree.
Anyway, this one was construction based. So they had to replace several water lines, and when the walls were being removed and they started digging under the foundation, they found, quote, thousands upon thousands of bones.
Oh, there it is.
So they found a native burial ground.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Which apparently had not been disturbed despite a house being built on top of it, because apparently all the remains were still
left
alone.
Untouched, right. Okay.
But now they're digging it up.
Oh, God.
And now... even though this is the exact replica, in a weird turn of events, the old military hospital was not at all haunted until the exact brand new modern replica was built, and now it's haunted.
Intriguing.
Because now all the native remnants have been disturbed.
And you also, there is that whole theory of like when you do renovations of even your house, things that may have never happened, but then if you start renovating, like
all of a sudden you're stirring stuff up.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Could be double whammy.
Exactly. So apparently in the hospital there is a room called the mourning room where you mourn all the your loved ones who have passed on. So this is where patients are usually moved prior to passing, so people can say goodbye and priests can do their last rites and all that,
right?
Or at least bless the body,
right?
And apparently this is the most haunted room in the new hotel,
of course,
or hospital, where people hear sounds of crying, screaming, chatter when you're alone. Someone will tap your shoulder. Someone will whisper, help me, in your ear.
Okay.
Good night to
Goodbye
me.
Goodbye forever.
Goodbye, cruel world.
Give me my last rites, please.
People have seen imprints on the bed as if someone's lying there.
Mm-mm.
And the ward section of the hospital, apparently, is where many injured soldiers stayed. So this is not the morning room anymore. This is the ward where people were alive but injured.
Got it.
And people have had a sense of dread. They've sensed cold spots. People have gotten pictures of ectoplasm, apparently.
What?
And people have heard screams, seen objects move across the room, and have seen misty humanoid figures, both in pictures and beside you.
Damn.
Gross.
Grotesque.
Also, the hospital beds literally slide across the floor.
Nah.
People smell sulfur. People have felt and seen the beds and tables vibrate and shake on their own, which is super creepy to me.
Yeah.
And people have seen apparitions of nurses, men in hospital gowns, and the creepiest thing I've ever heard in my life, apparitions of only amputated limbs.
Oh!
So no person next to the limb, just the limb itself that's been amputated. So the ghost of your leg is just...
I was like, what could possibly be creepier than the crawling humanoid figure? But I guess limbs are up there for sure.
So literally just like a pile of body parts just show up. Like, that's all you see, and then you... turn and double take and they're gone.
And like, how would you even accidentally see? Right. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Anyway, so that's the Spanish military hospital.
Jesus.
And this is the Huguenot cemetery, aka the public burial grounds.
That's a great story.
So
yeah.
So I think I didn't appreciate it enough when
I was
thank
God we get to share this with the world.
You're welcome, everyone. So in 1821, which happens to also be the year that the hospital got all fucking creepy,
right.
Apparently, in the same year, this public burial ground was opened and became the only in town final resting place for those who were not Catholic, aka where my ass would have been.
Bye.
Just after this burial ground opened, I think the original plan was like, okay, so this is where only non-Catholics will go, and we don't have a lot of people here, and obviously we can guess how many people per year will probably die and how much space we'll need.
Sure.
And this place is going to be wide open for a while. This is like just all the space in the world that we need for people who aren't Catholic to be
right.
Good. Then, like the next year, yellow fever broke
there
out.
There it is.
And wow, did this public ground fill up fast.
That it's like in New Orleans too. I was thinking about that. They just didn't know what to do with
the
bodies.
You just literally just put bodies there.
Just like stuffing them in temporary graves and stuff.
Just
like,
shoving them wherever they can. So people feel their arms here get touched, and they hear crying and laughing and see flashes of light.
Mm-mm.
People also see orbs in photos, and they've seen misty apparitions walking by them in the graveyard. People have also seen shadow figures following them and hiding behind gravestones when they think you're looking at them.
Oh, ew. So they're like self-aware.
So like they're aware that you're aware, and they don't want you to be. So then you watch them try to hide from you.
That's pretty wild. At least they're not crawling at you, I guess.
I feel like I'm so used to the thought of like, oh, if I see a ghost, it's going to attack me, that when I see a ghost hide, it's extra jarring.
Because it does the opposite.
Because I'm like, yeah, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I definitely didn't think it was that.
That it didn't want me to see it.
Ew, right. Ew, ew. That makes it extra creepy.
Yeah.
It's like, it knows it's a ghost and it knows you shouldn't know about it.
Ooh. Ugh.
Anyway, there are two main ghosts at this graveyard.
Right.
One is a 14-year-old girl Aww. Who allegedly died during the yellow fever epidemic, but nobody actually knows who she is because her body was found outside of the cemetery. Apparently, she had just been dumped there, maybe by family or friends.
Oh, so sad.
Because they needed to bury her, but didn't know what right. to do with her. So,
well, and they didn't know back then how, like, disease spread. So, like, right. they probably thought, oh, well, we don't want... to right. infect everyone else. So it's so sad they had no other choice in right. their minds. Ugh.
So she was a body that was just dumped outside the cemetery and nobody ever claimed her. So the cemetery just buried her. They were right. like, well, someone clearly brought her here because they wanted us to bury her. So we'll do it.
Wow.
People apparently see this little girl all over the cemetery now. You can see her. You can see through her when you see her.
Sure. Why not?
She wears a white dress. And she has been seen waving to guests. Gross.
Oh, that's like, kind of cute.
Like, waving, but also, like, the just
it's
turn
another,
around.
It's another self-aware thing just, where it's
yeah.
unsettling.
Very unsettling. I always tell myself that ghosts are residual things. And, like,
right.
they're just repeating their, like, totally. Last couple years of life
that's
or something.
That's the kind of ghost thing that... That's why I saw, like, Whaley House, where he just walked past. Like, it wasn't, yeah. like...
Like, he's, like, they're... It's less creepy when they're not bothering you. They're right. just reliving an experience.
Right.
But when they're, like, waving to you or something, it's, like...
Especially a child.
Or hiding or crawling.
Child ghosts are extra.
I can guarantee you that ghost that crawls
Mm-mm.
wasn't, like, crawling in the last 5 minutes of his life. He's not reliving that. He's intentionally fucking crawling to you.
Ooh!
Ugh.
Or, well, yeah.
Maybe he crawled. I don't know.
No, but no. But no. Sorry. Why would that... No.
I don't know.
I don't like it. I don't care what it is. You
anyway.
Can crawl the last moment of your life, but I don't want you crawling at me.
Just relive your like the moments before
right.
that.
Can you just relive the part where you're eating your beans and grits
yes.
or whatever?
So
oh, this balloon's coming at you. Don't be scared. Sorry. I just flew. It was...
You said don't be scared, but my brain was like too fucking late. And so like... I saw it from the corner of my eye and I stopped breathing for
there
sure.
We turned the fan on and there's a balloon that's been on top of a shelf for a while. And I just kept seeing it like almost fall off from the wind. And then all of a sudden it came right off.
And that got me good.
It occurred to me way too late that like this would probably frighten the hell out of you.
As it's like in my peripheral vision, you're like, don't be scared.
Don't be scared by that thing that's next
to you.
That's
exactly what a killer in my peripheral vision would say. Okay, so anyway, you can see through her. She wears a white dress. She waves at you. And apparently, which I find ultra creepy, she floats at the tops of trees.
The tops of trees
like within the Ew. Branches or above the tree line
waving nope I forget it I hate it
if she's underneath the tree sure because that at least makes human sense but
right,
like
right.
all of a sudden you just rise to the top
I mean what okay why not I guess I don't know
she's also most often seen between midnight and 2 a.m which of fucking
sure.
course and then the final ghost is the ghost of Judge John Stickney,
okay.
who apparently died in 1882, and years later his kids decided they were going to have him exhumed and buried in D.C. because that's where they lived, and they wanted
right.
to visit him. So while exhuming his body from this St. Augustine cemetery,
uh-huh.
the gravediggers took a break in the middle. Like, apparently okay. exhuming one body was too much, so they were like, okay, gotta go. So they went to go, like, pee or get a Gatorade
get
or something
a Subway
in the 80s,
sandwich, yeah.
1880s.
Oh, right, and, right. Neither of those things existed.
And while gone, they left the casket open.
Oh, what?
Just because they were like, oh, we'll get back to him when we're done with our, like...
Footlong.
Power bar. And and the thieves... There were thieves.
The thieves?
The thieves.
What? What?
They,
the thieves trademark, right.
I see, like, the thieves of Agrabah. Like, the...
Yeah.
Like, the wasn't that like the Aladdin sequel?
I think so.
Return of the Thieves or something.
Return of the Thieves.
So anyway, there were thieves that were apparently watching this whole thing, hoping that these gravediggers
would
like need a Big Mac.
Yeah,
and
what
so
the fuck?
Then the gravediggers left. They luckily left the
They're
casket
like,
open.
Nice.
And the thieves were like, this is our time to shine.
For
so
sure.
They ran to the open casket and apparently stole the judge's teeth because they were gold.
Oh,
gold
I was
teeth.
Like, please explain that. Thank God.
Because they're dentists
yeah.
and they want to practice.
That's so fucking disgusting.
The dentist thieves. So
yikes.
So they stole the judge's gold teeth.
Okay.
Then the gravediggers come back, realize that this judge now has no teeth in his mouth. And they were like, oh boy, his kids are for sure going to notice that he doesn't have any teeth anymore.
That his mouth's not shiny anymore.
Right. That his mouth is not worth something.
Yeah, I guess so.
So they literally were like, okay, lock it up. So they literally covered the casket, locked it, and then just like, I guess, gave them the full casket and kept the body closed. So they never really found out. I think eventually either the gravediggers owned up to it or the kids must have obviously opened up the casket and realized their dad didn't have teeth.
Right. I mean,
so
yeah.
One of those things happened. But
I imagine it wasn't the thieves trademark who admitted for no reason that
like,
they did it.
You got us.
You got us.
So
we just wanted attention.
Anyway, since then, he was exhumed and brought to D.C. But the cemetery that used to hold the judge, there is now, ever since this happened, a tall, dark figure that has been seen both in broad daylight and at nighttime. He sits in the trees.
Oh,
I
no,
don't get the
no,
trees
no, no,
thing.
No, 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 no.
One's floating. One's like eating apples in the branches.
That's just an extra.
And he apparently walks around, crawling around on the grass, looking for something on the ground,
uh-huh.
which might be his teeth.
He's not eating apples.
And he's not crawling
teeth.
In a creepy way. He's crawling like with a purpose.
With a purpose. See, that I'll allow it.
Yeah, it's like you clearly look busy.
That's really sad, though.
Yeah, can you imagine, like, you were fine and you were totally well-rested and in heaven, and then all of a sudden you, like, fade out of heaven and onto the cemetery ground, and you're like, what's going on? And, like,
yeah,
now I have to find your teeth.
To, like, it sounds like a bad CD-ROM. Like, find your teeth before you can get to the next level.
Before you gain access back into the pearly gates.
Pajama Sam 7.
The pearly gates. Your pearly whites for the pearly gates.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
That explains everything.
Anyway, that is all of my stories.
Those are good ones.
Florida 2019.
Florida.
St. Augustine.
Maybe Tampa, maybe Jacksonville. Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Except all the documents.
Except Eva.
And everyone else. And Eva.
Only Eva and all the legal paperwork we signed. Anyway, your turn.
What a time, man.
What a time, what a trip.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. That is so nice. So I received this beautiful lilac shrub, and Leona and I planted it together, and we did find a creepy, like, saint statue while we were digging up the yard. But that aside, it was really a wonderful experience. The funniest part is my neighbor, Anne, hi Anne, walked past me the other day and said, oh, I saw your lilac bush that you mentioned on the podcast. And I thought, wow, advertising really works, folks. I talked about that lilac shrub. She saw it in my yard. And I said, Leona and I worked very hard to plant that. And I also found a creepy saint while I dug it up. But anyway, the point being, it looks professional. It looks like a landscaper put it there, and a toddler and I actually put it there. So I feel like we've fooled everyone. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code DRINK at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code DRINK at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code DRINK. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with brand new releases and next listen recommendations. There's a story for every listener, from classic favorites to exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors. Elevate your heart rate with a pulse-pounding collection of thrillers you can't hear anywhere else, all brought to life with Premiere Audio. From eerie soundscapes to dynamic voice performances, you're guaranteed to be on the edge of your seat. With female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks, Audible has your thrill needs covered. Plus, with an Audible membership, get access to thousands of titles and the chance to discover new favorites and formats, like the exclusive Words and Music series or a podcast. And Audible members can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. I have to tell you about a thriller I recently listened to on Audible. It's called None of This Is True, and it is actually about a true crime podcaster. And I was surprised how much I got into it. It has, speaking of like immersive sound, it was such a good audiobook. I actually recommended it for one of the recent And That's Why We Drink newsletters. I always go to Audible for my thriller fix. New Audible members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/drink or text drink to 500-500. That's audible.com/drink or text drink to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
Okay, well, so then I guess I'll tell you my story. So I have a new one for you today.
Okay.
This is really one of the wildest things I think maybe I've ever covered.
Word.
It's pretty crazy. So I guess let's just go.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the story of Diane Downs. You have not heard of her, have you?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So I had heard the name, but I didn't know much about her. And then the other day I was on Hulu and it was like, hey, suggestion for you, this 2020 special. And I was like, okay. So I watched it.
I like how at this point you're like, the TV knows me better than I do.
That's right. I don't have to pick and decide. It's great.
Yeah.
So they recommended it to me on Hulu and they were right. They do know me very well because it was freaking crazy and incredible and I highly recommend it. So after that, I did my own little research and here's the story of Diane Downs.
Oh, okay.
And I will say too, in the episode, Anne Rule, who's like the inimitable true crime author of all time, basically, she wrote a story about Diane Downs and she was actually interviewed in the special. Even though she died in 2015, they like had footage that they put in from their interview with her. So that's pretty cool. And she's such a badass. Okay, so this starts off very aggressively. May 19th, 1983, a woman drives up to an emergency room in Springfield, Oregon with a bullet wound on her left arm. The hospital staff is horrified to find three children in the back seat covered in blood. All of them have been shot.
And I assume dead.
You'll find out.
Okay. But still, I mean, horrible no matter what.
Does it? Yeah, exactly. It's just like, can you imagine being the nurse of like, startling.
I'd be like, oh, well, I just wanted to like work a shift and then go home. And now I've got to deal with like
now I quit.
Multiple bloody children.
Yes. So the woman is soon identified as Diane Downs and her children are Christy, age 8, Cheryl, age 7, and Danny, age 3.
Oh.
7-year-old Cheryl was declared dead at the scene. And the other two children were rushed to intensive care with life-threatening injuries.
Shit. Okay.
Diane herself was obviously treated for her bullet wound. She'd been shot in the arm, but she was well enough to kind of like answer detectives' questions.
Okay.
She told detectives that she had been driving home from a friend's house with her children in the backseat around 9:30 or 10 p.m. and decided to take a detour to do some sightseeing.
Uh-huh.
According to a later report, this is important. I know it sounds stupid, but Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran was playing during this time.
Sure.
And she said suddenly a shaggy haired man flagged her down. So she stopped, got out of the car and asked, what do you want? And he said, I want your car. And she said, you've got to be kidding. Which is when he pushed her aside and then shot each of her three children before firing one more bullet that hit Diane in the left arm.
Oh, no.
She said she had pretended to throw her keys into the bushes, but when he was distracted, she jumped in the car and drove off, driving, quote, like a lunatic, straight to the hospital.
Sure.
Obviously.
Right.
So investigators are immediately thrown off by this interview because Diane's demeanor is very calm and flat, despite knowing her daughter had just been murdered.
I can't even imagine that kind of adrenaline,
right?
And numbness all at the same
time.
That's
the thing too, and like obviously we know that not everyone grieves in the same way, or I mean, shock, you know, is also a factor, obviously. So at this point, Danny, who's only 3, was paralyzed from the waist down because of the bullet wound, and Christy would soon suffer a massive stroke. So it was like, okay, everyone grieves differently, but she seemed very like light and airy. The surgeon even described it as surreal, her response.
Mm.
The surgeon went to find Diane after working on Cheryl and declaring her dead because he wanted to talk to the mother himself.
Cheryl's the middle one.
Yes.
Okay.
Cheryl's the middle one. She was 7.
Right.
Right. So he had to declare her dead, unfortunately, and he went to find Diane to kind of give his, you know, pay his respects and tell her how sorry he was, etc. He said he walked in expecting to find, you know, a grieving mother. And the first thing she said was, wow, that really ruined my new car.
Okay. Everyone grieves differently. No comment.
There you go.
No comment. So, I would have not reacted that way, but okay.
Right. So as you can imagine, a manhunt obviously begins immediately for this like bushy haired stranger
right.
who just shot up a car.
There's
like full on panic in Oregon. People are like, there's a madman loose in our town and it's kind of like a sleepy town. And they're like, he's willing to shoot children who are just sitting there and sleeping. Like,
and also like so far, it sounds like the story, he didn't really need much to right. want to hurt
it,
them.
It didn't make any, like...
It's not like she was putting up a fight. All she said was, are you kidding me? And he just reacted poorly to her attitude.
Right. So, like, the mental stability
the story
is
doesn't
there.
Sound concrete.
Right.
I hear you.
So, right. So, this manhunt begins. The only evidence they find at the actual scene of the crime are some casings by the roadside, but the gun itself is nowhere to be found. And so at this point, cops are like completely flummoxed, I guess is the right word.
What is that word?
Flummoxed.
That's a new one.
Flummoxed.
I like it.
It's a new one. We don't use that very often, but I feel like it fits.
Okay, sure.
And that's when they decide they're going to do a reenactment with Diane, because they're like, well, we want you to recreate what happened so that we can get the forensics right. And like, I need you to explain, like, they're basically like, we need you to explain exactly how the movements happen so we can figure out how this guy acted and sure. you know, get everything right. So they do a recreation and or like a reenactment basically, and they actually show like the whole reenactment in the episode, so it's kind of wild. You can like watch her reenact what happened with a police
that's
officer.
Crazy they're using like real footage.
Yeah, there's a lot of real footage, which makes it like super wild episode. So she's showing them like how she throws the keys. She has like a cast on her left arm, obviously, because she had just been shot, you know, and she's still healing. So she kind of like throws the keys. She's like, this is how I threw the keys. And then I jumped in the car. She jumps in the car and then she bangs her left arm on the side of the door and she shouts, ow, I just hit my cast, and like bursts out laughing. And everyone, like the guy in the video, is just kind of like looks around quietly. He's like an investigator.
It's like,
okay. So they just kind of move on. And then she proceeds to joke and laugh like through the whole rest of the video. And then at the end she says, this is worse than, and then just says, oh, well, never mind.
Okay, I got it.
And so police are like, oh, my God, she was about to say, this is worse than when I shot myself. So this whole reenactment, massive red flag. Meanwhile, Diane is giving interviews left and right. She's on every TV channel, every TV news station. She's telling her story on every program. And
if you tell me at the end of this that she did all this for publicity, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. This is awful.
It's wild. It's a wild roller coaster. So she is telling her story everywhere. People are starting to like question the validity of the story because there are so many details and things where people are like, this doesn't add up, or like, why are you, there are certain details where it's like, why, you know how sometimes they say like the more detail you give, the more likely it is that you're lying.
Like you're overcompensating.
Yeah, exactly. So people are kind of like weird about it and not really understanding, her story. And so she starts to sense like a shift away from this bushy haired stranger kind of like to her. And so she's like, uh-oh, they're looking at me now instead of this guy.
Right.
So she senses a shift and she says on air, ready?
Okay.
If I had shot my own children, would I not have done a good job of it? Why would I have taken my kids to the hospital? Wouldn't I have made sure they were dead and then cried crocodile tears? And then reporter's like, I guess.
Like, I don't know what the right answer is.
Terrible. Like, right.
Is she saying this while she's crying?
No. Because she actually never cried. That was one of the things I said, like, that she never shed a tear.
She seems to be laughing a whole lot.
She does chuckle a lot.
Okay.
She also has a funny habit of only talking about herself in these interviews.
Funny habit.
Uh-huh. She says, when this man shot my daughter, my first reaction was to, I quoted literally the video that they show, my first reaction was to snap back to my childhood, to the pain that had happened to me back then, marriage, my entrapment by society.
So you see your daughter get potentially murdered, yeah, and it just throws you back into thinking about your marriage.
How sad your marriage is and your childhood. And
not like, my child is dead.
Right. Not like adrenaline.
Okay.
Hey, let's get out of here.
Okay.
So then she goes on. There's more. This is probably the wildest quote of all. She says, everybody says, you sure were lucky. Well, I don't feel very lucky. I couldn't tie my damn shoes for about 2 months.
Right. That's that's the ultimate bad luck you got out of all of this experience.
It gets worse.
Shut up, Christine.
It is very painful. It's still painful. The scar is going to be there forever. I'm going to remember that night for the rest of my life, whether I want to or not. I don't think I was very lucky. I think my kids were lucky. If I had been shot the way they were, we all would have died. So everyone's like, so, your kids were lucky. Is that what she literally said? I think my kids were lucky.
Also, yeah, because they don't have to tie their shoes anymore.
Right,
and
exactly.
And also, like, for you to be saying like, oh, it's such a painful memory. She really does lure you into thinking like, of course it's a painful memory. Like, you just watched all three of your children get shot. But she's like, oh no, it's a painful memory because I have to remember that like my arm got injured or whatever. Yeah, like
those lucky kids at
like,
least.
Like, she's always almost there.
Yeah, it's like she's on the right track and then just throws you completely off.
Right, yeah.
So now in police and the public are both like, what the actual fuck? This is something's like very wrong here. So they start investigating Diane. They search her home and find her journals, which explain an affair she was having with a married man named Robert Knickerbocker, a.k.a. Nick.
Uh-huh.
She was heartbroken because the man, Nick, had told her he didn't want to be with her because he didn't want children.
Oh.
Let that sink in for a quick moment.
It sank in.
Terrible. Then they remembered that after the shooting, Diane had actually immediately called this man, Nick, from the hospital. And when they contacted him, he said she had been stalking him and had even offered to kill his wife if it meant being with him forever.
Okay, she's guilty. That's just where I draw the line.
And he was like, I don't know, I was so happy when she left town. Like, she was stalking me and my wife. And
she was like, I'll kill your wife if that's what it takes. And then, allegedly, she probably was like, well, I'll just kill my kids so I look more attractive
to you. Right, so you'll be with me. And, like, they did have an affair. So, like, they were sleeping together. But
he made a mistake. He made a few mistakes.
So they also found a rifle in her home, and the bullets inside matched the markings on the shell casings at the crime scene, because that's all they had found at the crime scene were like shell casings. So they found a gun in her house.
Sure.
With the bullets that matched the crime scene.
Sure.
The shell casings. They also find more evidence regarding the shooting itself. She said the shooter shot all three of the children inside the car, but investigators found blood spatter on the outside of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, well, your story doesn't even line up.
Right. Yeah, right.
The very least. And then police got an interesting tip called in. So remember how Diane had said she raced like a madman to the hospital? After the a hysterical lunatic,
right? Yeah. Oh. Hysteria.
This
within
is the
my
definition
lunacy
of the lunacy hysteria. So she said she had raced to the hospital like a lunatic.
Sure.
So this man calls in and he says, oh, I was actually behind her car that night, and she was driving so slowly that my speedometer didn't even register. So he had to pass her
like so slowly that maybe she was like waiting out for her kids to hopefully die.
Correct.
Disgusting.
Sick.
Great.
And multiple people after that called in and said, yeah, I also passed her on that same road, and she was driving so slowly, and they estimate about 5 to 7 miles per hour. So
wow,
that's how quickly she was driving her dead kid.
At that point, she might as well have just been fucking parked.
Right. Just like, right. Well, remember, and she's like, oh, well, if I had done it, wouldn't I have waited for them to die and then brought them to the hospital?
Well, she kind of, it sounds like she was.
Fucking, she didn't even cry the fake tears ever. So at this point, police are like, okay, I think we have enough evidence and
this checks out. I think we're fine now.
I think the story has changed. So they decide to interview, Diane again. And in the interview, they're like, oh, you know, we have all this stuff against you. And she's like, well, actually, I know who did it.
And they're like, me.
yeah. They're like,
I know who did it. Me.
They're like, we know that you know.
We know, you know, they know we know.
Yeah. But do they know that we know that they know that we know?
That is the real question.
I mean, that's to top it all off.
To top it all off.
So she says, actually, there were two guys who killed the children.
So why wouldn't you have said that before?
They were like, is this something that like...
Why? Okay, keep going.
Right.
Sorry.
But you're right. Like, they were like, well, why the fuck wouldn't you have said that?
I feel like if someone murdered everything I love, I would have given them all of the true details immediately.
Like, go get them. Right. So then they ask, well, why wouldn't you say that? And she goes, well, because it's a conspiracy. They know, they said my name. They know who I am. And so they were like, wait, so you're trying to like hide the story? Basically, her new thing is like, oh, it's a conspiracy against me. And I was too scared to tell you the truth. And it's like, that's just bullshit.
Sure.
So they know Diane is lying, obviously, but they just can't like crack her. Like, they can't figure out the best way in, and she won't admit to it. So fortunately, right around this time, Christy wakes up.
Yay!
I know, so fucking good. But she is terrified.
Of course.
She will not speak. And so they're like, you know.
I mean, in my mind currently, I'm imagining oh, of course she doesn't want to speak in front of her mother who shot her.
Right. She's probably terrified. I mean, can you imagine, like, you wake up and you're like, that's the last thing I, like,
yeah. Oh,
God. So she's obviously, like, petrified to speak. So she has this therapist who asks her to write down on a piece of paper who shot her, and then they will burn it in the fireplace. And they repeat this process over and over and over again until she is finally, like, okay, you can now read the paper. So she's, like, done this process over and over, and finally she says, okay, like, here, you can look at it before we burn it. The therapist opens it, and it says, my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So Diane's arrested. They're like, we have a literal eyewitness.
Right.
The victim. So Diane's arrested, charged with one count of murder, two counts of attempted murder, and two counts of criminal assault. The arrest occurs in February 1984, which was 9 months after the shooting. And then the trial was scheduled for that May. So Diane shows up to the trial in May, and she is heavily pregnant.
Oh, no.
The story just goes all over the place.
It really does.
This is like the best 2020 episode I've ever seen. I was like, what? Like, the whole fucking time.
Whoa, wiki, what?
Yeah. No wonder nobody likes being in the living room with me when I watch TV.
Love it.
Alexander and Ellie were like drinking beers outside. It was like a Sunday, and they're like, come out and sit with us. And you know I'm not one to go turn down a beer.
Right. And you're like, I'm busy.
Forget it. I'm watching this lady who murdered her children. So don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine. So I don't think I've mentioned this yet, but Diane was a postal worker. So she worked for the USPS. This is how she got pregnant, essentially, they figured out. She had picked a man along her postal route that had good bone structure.
Shut up.
And was intelligent. Had shown up at his house with whiskey and marijuana. And had seduced him. Mm-hmm. And she told a reporter later that she, and the reporter's interviewed on 2020, but she told the reporter she knew her cycle so well that she knew how easy it would be to get pregnant, like, on that specific day.
Oh my God.
So she had tracked her cycle to the, I mean, this guy's just like, okay, sure. Like, he doesn't know what's going on. So she has sex one time and is impregnated.
Bingo, bango. She knew.
There's a line where she literally says, it's so easy to conceive, like, on air. And it's like, what the frick?
Apparently for you.
Ugh, yeah. Right, exactly. It's like, fuck off on many levels with that bullshit. So she gets pregnant. Obviously now she's not still on the news because she just loves to share her story. Publicity.
Okay. Yeah.
She loves the attention. And in an interview when they asked, like, why the fuck? She says, quote, she's a very beautiful lady. And she's like, you can't replace children, but you can replace the effect that they give you. And they give me love. They give me satisfaction. They give me stability. Then they have a clip from Anne Rule, who wrote this book about her. And she basically says she didn't have babies so she could love them. She had babies so they could love her.
Ah.
There it is.
Okay.
So she shows up to her trial. She is heavily pregnant, like 9 months pregnant. Prosecutors argued that Downs shot her children to be free of them so she could continue her affair with Nick based on the journal entries, based on his testimony. And he had let her know very clearly he did not want to be a father. He said, I like kids, but I don't want to be a father. And she's like, okay, I know what to do. So prosecutors were worried, however, that a jury would not convict a heavily pregnant woman. So they were like, it's kind of an uphill battle for them because...
Got it.
It's, you know, you need to sway the jury on multiple levels. And the pregnancy thing obviously works in her favor.
Right.
So during the trial, however, the jury, whether they were swayed before, are now swayed in the opposite direction when they played the song Hungry Like the Wolf.
Oh.
And Diane begins dancing in her seat, tapping along to the music, kind of humming and tapping her foot. And the jury's watching this, like, holy shit, because they had just said in the trial that that was the song playing when this guy came and shot all three of her children. So you'd think maybe
she would have some sort of PTSD.
Something. Or like, just not
love. She would have bad memories. She would associate poor things with it.
That maybe you wouldn't consider it the bop that you used to.
The bop. It doesn't slap like it used to.
When my brother was in a car accident back in Cincinnati, he was listening to Phil Collins, and after he got out of the hospital, he would not listen to Phil Collins for like years because he was really? Like, I just can't. He was like,
but that's a perfect example though.
Right. It was like a really bad accent. So you'd think murdering your, you know, your children being murdered by a stranger maybe would have that effect, but obviously.
Apparently not.
It's just such a good song, you know, Duran Duran. Yes. So anyway, after all the evidence was introduced against Diane by the prosecution, they brought out their star witness, AKA Diane's daughter, Christy, who had recently turned 9.
Okay.
So nobody knew at this point, like, is she going to speak? Are they going to bring her out? Are they just going to, like, read a testimony of hers? And then they walk out this 9-year-old girl. They sit her down in the witness box. And one of the people at the trial later said, like, she was so tiny that her head, like, barely came above the stand. They had to lower the microphone. It's very heartbreaking. So it took months of physical and mental therapy, but Christy was able to take the stand. And when asked, do you know who shot Cheryl? So that was her younger, middle sister. Do you know who shot Cheryl? She quietly responded, yes. The prosecutor could apparently barely keep his own composure, was like almost at the point of breaking down. And he asked who? And she responded, my mom.
Oh.
When asked, how do you know that, Christy? She burst into sobs and says, I watched.
Oh my God.
It's like the most fucking upsetting thing. Yeah.
Okay.
It's terrible. So then they asked her to explain what happened. She said they were all asleep in the back seat. Then mom stopped the car on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere, got out, got something from the trunk, came back, knelt down in the front seat, shot Cheryl, then Danny, then me. So she had watched literally 1, 2, 3. Diane is diagnosed with 3 personality disorders, histrionic, narcissistic, and antisocial personality disorder. She is a sociopath. Shocker. She does not feel empathy. Shocker. No regret. Shocker. So needless to say, after a 6-week trial, Diane is found guilty and sentenced to life plus 50 years in the Oregon Women's Correctional Center in Salem. 10 days after her conviction, she goes into labor as she was heavily pregnant. A caseworker arrived to take the child hours after birth, and that was the last Diane ever saw of her child. But she apparently showed no emotion when they took the baby. She just kind of handed it over. And she was back in jail in a few hours. So the baby is then brought to her new family. They're called the Babcocks, and they name her Rebecca. And just basically their goal is to just give her a normal life, essentially.
Yeah.
Now, the craziest thing, so Diane's surviving children, well, the craziest thing is all of it. But right. One of the crazy things is that Christy and Danny, so Danny survived as well.
Okay.
It's not made clear whether he's...
Can walk.
Right, whether the paralysis lasted. The doctors apparently said he was never going to walk again, but obviously, I'm sure we've all heard stories where that's not the
case. Right, so who knows?
Right. So it's not clear, but Christy and Danny are both survivors, and they are then adopted by the prosecutor, Fred Hughey, and his wife, Joanne.
Wow.
Because they were just so affected by this whole case that they took the children in and adopted them, which sounds like an episode of SVU. Like
it truly it does. Doesn't sound real. Literally Mariska Hargitay on SVU adopted a baby in a case she was so attached to.
Exactly. And so this is literally, it happened. So anyway, yeah. So they adopted the children, which is like kind of the best, I think just awesome. So everything's sorted out. Everyone's kind of like where they're supposed to be until they're not.
What the hell else happens?
It gets crazier. On July 11th, 1987, Diane Downs escapes from prison.
God! What? She's
such a nut job.
Okay.
This isn't no Alcatraz created by those fancy millennium pink jailers.
Not created by Rose Gold.
Not sponsored by
NyQuil like me.
Alcatraz. Okay, so, right, she escapes from prison. Essentially, what she had done is thrown her jacket onto the barbed wire, then climbed a 16-foot fence, like, climbed over the jacket on the barbed wire, and had jumped down 16 feet somehow, and had hidden under a car until, I don't know, nightfall, or until someone came to pick her up, I'm not sure. But so she, probably not till nightfall, I'm sure they would have noticed that she was missing by then.
Maybe.
But so they found her actual jacket underneath the car, so that's how they know she was down there. So she escapes. And an APB goes out. She obviously is a convicted child killer, and mm-hmm. three of her children are still alive. So they're like, oh my God, who knows if she's going to go after them.
Right.
Or
the family that adopted the kids.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the family try to take the children. Like, who knows? So the prosecutor, the guy Fred Hughey, who'd like adopted the two kids, is obviously petrified. And he apparently sleeps in a rocking chair by the front door for days with a loaded rifle. Just like waiting in case something happens.
Oh no.
And the Babcocks, so like Rebecca's adopted parents, were forced to reveal the identity of Rebecca as Diane Downs' daughter to like nursery staff. And she was like 2 or 3 at this point. So they weren't planning on like, obviously they were planning on keeping her identity private and secret right. from the public, but now they had to reveal it because they wanted to make sure that the nursery didn't give Rebecca up to someone they didn't recognize right. and they wanted them to take it seriously. So they search her cell one more time and they find a clipboard, this time with blank stationery on it. But if you hold the stationery up to the light, you can see like slight indents from writing from some the paper that was on it before. And it was a map. Like, this literally sounds like a fucking made-for-TV movie.
This is truly Lifetime.
Yeah, truly. Like, so absurd that you'd be like, this is so cheesy, like, it can't actually happen.
Perfect.
So it was a map to a house only a few blocks away from the jail, literally.
Like, wow.
A couple blocks. And it was the home of Wayne Seifer, the husband of a fellow inmate.
Okay.
So she had shown up on his doorstep, had taken her clothes off, and then asked if she could stay with him. And he was like, okay.
Way to sell it.
Yep. So thankfully, police show up. She is literally in his boxers when they show up. She's in his bedroom. Walks out in his boxers and t-shirt, and they arrest her without incident. She just kind of like just saunters on out.
Just wandered away.
Crazy. Crazy pants. So obviously, because of the escape, she received an additional sentence of 5 years. After her recapture, the prosecutor, Fred Hughey, requested that Diane be now housed elsewhere, like not in Oregon, because he's like,
fair.
I don't want her near my kids now, like that she might think are her kids.
Right.
I want her away. So she's moved to the New Jersey Department of Corrections, Clinton Correctional Facility for Women, and she's there for a long time. As for Diane, so, and it's also, like, much more higher security prison.
Oh, like, not maximum, like, moderate security?
I think maximum, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It just said a higher secure, or more secure facility.
All right.
Okay, so as for Diane's daughter, Rebecca, a.k.a. Becky is what she goes by, she, after this was revealed when she was like 3, she didn't know for a long time who her mother was. She just knew that her mother had gone to jail. That's all her parents told her.
Okay.
But so she tricked, when she was 11, she tricked her babysitter into revealing the name of her mother.
Damn. She's sneaky.
Very sneaky. And then by kind of saying, I know, like by acting like she knew.
Oh.
And was like talking about it really casually. And then the babysitter like said, oh, you know who Diane Downs is. And so she took that name, went to Barnes and Noble, found Ann Rule's book, which had like photos and like descriptions.
Oh my gosh.
Huge fucking book. And she starts reading it in the bookstore and is 11. So she's like,
can you imagine the heartbreak and the,
yeah,
I wouldn't even know how to swallow that information at 11. I'd be like, oh, well, that can't possibly be the
situation. Yeah. You see pictures of the kids, the daughter that died, and you're like, she murdered.
This is like, my that's mom my sister.
That's my sister. And my mother murdered her. Yeah. It's just beyond me. So she's obviously like very, she said after this, basically her life went in a downward spiral. She was angry, hurt, wondered whether she was kind of destined to be like her mother. You know, she thought like nature versus nurture, like maybe I'm worthless. Like maybe that's what I'm going to become too. So she moved out of her parents' house. She began living with like her boyfriend, had her first child, Chris, at age 17. In 06, she became pregnant with her second child. But after breaking up with the baby's father, she was forced into a homeless shelter because she couldn't care for herself and she and the baby, both children. And she made what she called the hardest decision of her life and put the baby up for adoption.
Aww.
And she basically said, like, this is kind of what made me think, like, look, I am my mother. Like, I gave up my baby.
Because both of them didn't have their children with them.
Yeah.
I see.
Because she, yeah, because she was put up for adoption, and now she's like, I'm doing the same thing to my child, and...
But they're so different. Right. I mean, sure, right. I get where she thought that way.
I know. And so she, at this point, goes, well, maybe I will reach out to my birth mother, Diane, because I want to see if this is what she felt like when she put me up for adoption. And she said she just felt very alone, very lost, and she's like, I thought maybe I could find a connection there.
Sure, yeah.
So she decides to write her a letter. Okay. And immediately gets a response. And
oh no.
The first couple letters are very like light and positive. They're like, great to hear from you, yada yada. She said very quickly things spiraled. Diane began writing about conspiracy theories, telling Becky that people had been watching her whole life and she was in danger. She wrote a 12-page rant about how she was innocent, and then ultimately accused Becky of being part of the conspiracy against her. She began to threaten her and her child and Chris, the baby or the kid. And then finally, Becky was like, no more. Like, I'm cutting off communication.
This makes sense now.
Yeah, right. Like, I regret this.
Right.
I made a bad move. So she cut off communication. It's pretty wild, like, because she is telling this story now, like, in 2019.
Right.
On air. So it's really pretty crazy.
How old is she now?
Oh, God. So she was born in 86, something like that.
So 33?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, she's Eva's age.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Now I'm just imagining this all happening to Eva.
No, don't do that.
Oh, no.
If I saw Eva on 2020, I'd be believing.
I'd be like, girl, we got to text. We got to talk.
Who allowed this, Eva? Right. Where's our cut?
Right.
And also, why didn't you wear our t-shirt on air?
Honestly, rude.
Honestly, what the fuck?
Honestly, it's homophobic. Honestly, it's really fucking mean, and I'm taking it seriously.
And you're fired. So, anyway. Oh, sorry you had to hear this through the recording, Eva, by the way.
She can't even defend herself.
Just the way we like it. So, I think 86. She might have been a couple years later. I'm not sure. Oh, wait, no. 84. I'm sorry. So
okay, so 35.
30, yeah.
Going on 35 this year.
Sure. Yes. Yes. I think born in June, so Gemini. So anyway, this lady is just like obviously a badass. Like, she's been through a whole hell of a lot. She has her son Chris, who seems honestly like the sweetest, like the kid's on there too, and he seems super sweet. He was born when she was 17, so I'm not gonna do the math on that.
35 minus 17.
He's 14? No.
22?
I don't know. He's not 22.
18?
How much is it? 30?
18. 18 plus 17 is 35.
Yes, 18. So okay. He's like a high schooler. But so he's super sweet. He seems very loving. So Becky did say she actually did reach out to Christy and Danny, her half siblings.
Aw. Did they write back?
Yeah. So she said she heard back from Christy via Facebook. So that's an interesting little twist.
Sure.
But she said after a couple like back and forths, Christy was kind of like, I'm sorry, I just am trying to like distance myself from the trauma of this, and like,
sure,
I don't think I want to be part of the storyline and stuff. And
that's
so
rough.
Yeah, it's terrible. And so Becky was like, I totally like respect that she wants her own private life without the stigma of being attached to
right
Diane Downs. So actually Christy and Danny have never actually spoken publicly, have kept themselves out of the media. And so, as one reporter said it, it's quite dignified the way they've handled it. As far as we know, Christy has children of her own, has been married for a long time, is allegedly a very good mother. Apparently she and Danny are both just like awesome people.
Oh, nice.
Very loving, very just good all around. So that's kind of a cool, like,
well, at least something good something came out of this.
So there actually was, speaking of Lifetime, like a TV movie made back in the, I think, late 80s, based off the Anne Rule's book, Small Sacrifices, what the book is called. And the show, or the TV movie starred Farrah Fawcett in her
really?
Heyday. Yeah. And so that's cool. They play clips of that next to, like, clips of the actual trial and stuff.
Oh,
and
wow.
So you can see Farrah Fawcett, like, bobbing.
You really,
to...
like, found the ultra 2020 experience.
It was the best. No wonder Hulu was like, just watch this.
Right, right.
Sit down, grab your hard kombucha and watch this.
Your hard kombucha.
So yeah, so the Farrah Fawcett is really interesting. And they play a lot of Duran Duran in this 2020 episode. And I think it's because they probably bought the rights to that.
Probably.
And they were like, we might as well get some use out of it.
Sure.
So they play it through like the whole freaking episode. So Diane Downs herself, now 63 years old. Her first two applications for parole in 2008 and 2010 were both rejected. Thank God. She will next be eligible for parole in 2020. Speaking of 2020, let's see if they... Thanks for that.
I was like, oh, clever.
They'll probably revisit it. I wonder if they'll make a pun.
Maybe.
We'll see. Maybe it's in bad taste.
Welcome to our show's year.
Yeah, finally. They made it all the way. Right, so she will be eligible for parole next year at age 65. So we'll see what happens. And that is the story of Diane Downs. It is a wild time. But I highly recommend that episode of 2020 if you can't tell. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can tell.
It was just crazy. I did do a quick, like, Florida... What is it called? Floroscope?
Floroscope.
It's a little unsettling because I put her birthday in and the first link I saw was this headline.
Okay.
Florida woman takes maternity photo with alligator.
Huh.
I was like, Christ. Can't escape it. It's all alligators.
Alligator man.
And maternity. She just can't stop with the maternity stuff.
Gross.
So, anyway, that's the story of Diane Downs. Pretty crazy lady.
Pretty gross.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how to come back from that.
Well, alligators, maybe.
Nope. Still don't know.
Still bad. Well, thank you guys for listening. I know that was just upsetting, and I'm sorry.
I know I really, like, downed your vibe, but I hope you wanted that to happen anyway.
Hit next and listen to the next episode. I'm sure it'll be happier.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah. Thank you, guys, I guess. And sorry all at the same time.
Yes. Thanks for stepping into our world.
Our Floridian. Our fucked up world. Floridian fucked up world. All right.
You can find us at...
Oh, yeah. I want to hear you do it.
No, God. Okay. So you can find our website at thatswhywedrink.com. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. You can find us on social media. Our handle is ATWWD Podcast. You can also send in your listener stories to Eva, and that's why we drink at gmail.com. We have a Patreon, ATWWD Podcast. We have, what's the other one we have?
Merch,
which is bit.ly/ and that's why we drink merch.
All right.
Yeah. And we have some new stuff on there, including dog bandanas. So,
yay! Woohoo! And not alligators.
No gators.
All right. Well, I guess that's it then.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys.
And
that's
why
we
drink.
Woo! Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.